Yeah, we'll help you keep it running, at least the help you get from ASC Certified Technician Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive in studio this morning. Hi, Dan.
Good morning.
Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours.
Well, thank you. You too.
Did you have a good... Well, the holiday is still occurring. Now, you guys aren't open today.
We are not open today.
Not today.
We were open yesterday, though.
Okay, you were.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Business goes on.
Business goes on.
Yeah. Well, as you know, driving in, and most of our listeners know who've been outside, winter has arrived.
Indeed.
Whether it's not the calendar or not, it's here.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, I was talking to a friend of mine last week who had a has a car, who told me that it's just terrible. Until he got snow tires, he said you couldn't go anywhere in this little car.
Yeah.
He threw got snow tires. It's amazing, he said, the difference.
It is amazing, the difference. You know, it's the soft compound and the grip that it offers, and it's amazing. And you know, the challenge in Minnesota with those low-riding cars are so cool and so fun, and these sports cars, and they're all-wheel drive, so you think they'll be just fine, and they are. The trouble is they're so low to the ground that they actually get hung up on top of the snow pile, and we see it over on Grand Avenue all the time. The cars are parked on Grand, and the snow plows go by and, you know, make that big pile of snow right next to their car, and they try and drive through it, and they get as far as on top of the pile.
It becomes a plow,
and the car is then suspended. The tires and wheels don't make any difference at all because they're not even touching the ground anymore. They're just spinning.
Wow.
So, we see that a lot, and that's one of the challenges of the low cars. But you're right, snow tires makes a big difference.
Now, I know that when you put on some new tires on a car that Tony's driving now, that it needed new tires.
Mm-hmm.
These are all season. I haven't had snow tires on for years.
Right.
I'd like to get some. But good tires, good all seasons, kind of get you through most of it, don't they?
Well, I think they're in most cases, in most cars, they're just fine. And, you know, snow tires are great, but they're kind of a hassle, too, because you have to change them spring and fall.
You got to have a storage place.
Switch them back, and that's the bigger issue, is where do you put them?
Exactly, yeah.
And that's a challenge to store the tires and all that. So they're great. You know, on a few days a year, like today, they would be fantastic. But you have to weigh it against the downside of, you know, it's a little bit of work to deal with it.
Absolutely. If you're new to the show, thanks for joining. We may have a bunch of new listeners because of visiting family and friends. If you have any issues with their vehicle, maybe before you make that trip back home, you want to call Dan and ask him your question before you bring in your vehicle for service, whether it be at your favorite dealer, your favorite shop. Call us or text us, 651-989-9226. That number serves both the phone call and the text messages. 651-989-9226. Tell you what, we're getting a bunch of callers already, and we'll grab some text messages as well. But let's get to the phones. I do believe Steve is calling from Wayzata. Steve, good morning.
Yeah, hi. I got an older vehicle I use for ice fishing. I went to go start it, and I got barely any spark out of the coil and out of the plug. Can a battery be bad where it will turn it over and not leave enough voltage for the ignition to fire?
That's a good question. Not so much on an older car, but yes, that's true. But on more newer cars, the starters, those gear reduction starters, will continue to crank it out over down to about 9 volts, and an ignition coil will not fire at 9 volts. So yes, the engine can be cranking over, and can still be cranking over and you not have enough voltage for spark. However, if you say that you have a little spark or a little spark, if you're seeing spark, that's probably enough that the vehicle should be firing. I think if you're seeing spark at all, more likely you have a fuel problem, and oftentimes it's a too much fuel problem. So at any rate, that's just a little tip of something to think about. In cold weather, when we get a car that comes into the shop that cranks and will not start, it almost always has spark and almost always has too much fuel. So I think that's what you should probably zero in on.
There you go, Steve. Thanks for the call. Let's go to North Branch. I think Tom is there. Tom, you're on with Dan.
Yeah, good morning. I've got a 99 Ranger, and the four-wheel drive went out on it. I haven't even started to look. It just will not engage. And I was doing some checking, and a lot of them are switching, just switching hubs, going to the lockouts. Have you ever seen those? I mean, it looks like a real easy fix. I mean, the parts aren't that expensive. I mean, you just obviously have to, you know, lock them out manually. But have you ever seen that?
I have, and yes, they do make aftermarket hubs, although in your case, I'm not sure that that will fix the car. I think more likely on your vehicle what's happening is the front differential is not engaging. There's a solenoid or a actuator motor on the differential, and they get stuck. What I'd actually recommend is go switch it into four-wheel drive, crawl under there, find that. You'll find it. It's attached right to the side of the differential, and give it a little tap with it, gently with a hammer.
Hmm.
And so it's just like any electric motor. You tap it a little bit, and sometimes it'll come back to life and work for you. Or they get stuck inside. For those aftermarket hubs, more often what people use those for is they want to disengage them completely when you're driving down the highway, and then the wheels and tires just freewheel, and you get better gas mileage.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, that's why they use them.
All right, Tom, thank you. By the way, Dan is going to be here till 7:45, so if you have a question, don't wait. We want to help you out before Dan takes his leave here. So call us, text us, 651-989-9226 is the number. Darren, Darren is calling from Bloomington, I believe. Darren, you're on CCO.
Good morning. Hey, I have a question. I got a 2019 Kia Optima. And I was excited because they had that E15 gas, and Holiday used to say any 2001 or newer vehicle or flex fuel vehicles. And now some of the Holidays, it says only flex fuel vehicles. They don't have 2001 or newer anymore. So I've been using that for a while. Is that going to, has that maybe done anything to my car, or is it safe to use?
Well, if it runs okay on it, it probably has not damaged it any, although... I know on my car, it says not to use anything bigger than a 10%, the 10% ethanol. And so the 15%, if you look in your owner's manual, it will certainly tell you if that's compatible with your car or not. And if it's not compatible, I would not continue to use it. If it is compatible, then yeah, go ahead. It's great. It's the car's designed for it, and built for it, and it'll work just fine.
It's amazing what you can find in the manual.
Check the manual.
Yeah.
I think it'll absolutely tell you what fuel you can put in your car. And if it calls for E15, go ahead and use it. That's great.
Dan, we need to take a quick break. Tim, you're going to be next up here, and we'll grab some text messages when we return as well. If you have a car care question, call us or text us. Same number, 651-989-9226. Hey, good morning. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Danny Long here with Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Where exactly on that beautiful Grand Avenue are you?
Snow-covered Grand Avenue,
yes.
This morning. 982 Grand Avenue, which is right between Lexington and Victoria. You can find us on the web at lloydsautomotive.net, L-L-O-Y-D-S, lloydsautomotive.net. Or give a call, not today, but most Saturdays or any other day, 651-228-1316.
All right, very good. We'll give you that number before Dan leaves us this morning. As usual, we have callers and we have texters. We'll grab some text messages, but folks have been waiting. Let's see if we can get, I'll tell you what, let's get Tim, who's calling from Kimball, I believe. Tim, you're on with Dan. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. 2007 Chevy Trailblazer with 150,000 miles on, but it's in very good shape. But I have a fuel gauge that usually reads empty. Except after I fill it up, it'll go, you know, to full or maybe three quarters for a while, and then it drops back down, the light's on, so it always looks like it's bone dry. Wondering if it's a big fix or, you know, if it's worth just leaving. And the other thing is my Stabilitrack light is on, and I'm kind of wondering what that usually entails.
Well, I'll start with the gas gauge, and, you know, we have a test that we do. We would disconnect the fuel gauge at the tank, and we have a little thing that we can turn the gauge up and down with and watch that. It adds resistance to the system or to the lines, and and we can run the gauge up to all the different levels. And if I can control the gauge from the back of your car, then you know the problem is in the on the, in the sending unit, which is inside the tank, which is a pretty big deal. If I can't control it still with my tool, then the, you know, the sending unit in the tank is working fine, and there's something wrong with most likely this the dash, the instrument panel itself. And it's quite common that we have to remove those, send them out, have them repaired, and then reinstall them. And that's a smaller deal than the sending unit in the tank. And with the Stabilitrack light or any of those ABS-type driven lights, most commonly it's a sensor that's causing a problem. And good news is if the light's on, there's fault information stored in the computer that we can access. So if you bring it in and ask to have both of those things diagnosed, you'll get you know, information without having to spend too much money, and then you can make a decision based on that what to do with it.
Dan, I know you have folks at Lloyd's Automotive that deal with the how much does this cost, how much does that cost. Texter says the 2013 Ford Fusion have a rattle in the back end. I suspect it needs rear shocks and struts. About how much is that?
Oh, I have no idea. I'm sorry.
You don't, because you have people that, that look that up.
You know, as I've gotten older, two things have happened. One is, you know, the world has just, first of all, life has gotten so expensive, I can't believe how much some things cost. And I don't hear very well anymore, and I have trouble answering the phones. So I just
No kidding.
I just don't do it anymore. And I mean, I'm great with headphones on, but
can't wear those all the time.
I can't wear those all the time. So yeah, so I don't answer the phone very much. So I've kind of lost touch with what things cost and all of that. That, you know, I tell you what. Boy, if you're looking for how much something costs, you can call any shop, and they'll love to give you an estimate. We field estimate calls all day
long. Do you?
Long.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's, you know, the guys know all of those prices right off the top of their head. So, yeah, call in somewhere, and they'll be glad to help you.
Good morning, Dan. A texter says, with front snow tires and rear non-snow tires, do you rotate the tires side to side during the winter?
Well, I wouldn't rotate tires at all probably during
the winter.
Yeah, because you're rotating them in the spring and fall when you're putting the snow tires on and off. And then,
oh, yeah.
And then when you put the summer tires back on to replace the two snow tires, then make a decision based on what the summer tires look like, where to put them. And whoever you're doing business with, they'll know what to do with those tires. But no, in the during the winter season with your snow tires, you won't need to rotate them at all.
Very good. We have more show to come. Dan will be here for about another 15 minutes. We'll grab more texts and calls in just a moment. And good morning. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Danny Long here with Dan Burns, ASE certified technician at Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Dan, we have callers, we have texters. So let's get some more help. Let's see who's next. Jim. Let me see. Jim is calling for my Sandy, I do believe. No?
One?
Yeah.
Line.
One. Yes. All right. Live radio. Jim, are you there? Jim is not there. Oh, Jim was a little late to respond. Sorry about that. Now, let's see if John is there. John, you're on CCO.
Yes. Hi. I have a 2017 F-150 2.7 EcoBoost, and when I start it up in the morning to idle in my garage, it leaves, there's black moisture that comes out of the exhaust, tailpipe, muffler, and if I don't put cardboard under it, it just messes up my garage floor. And the dealer said it was just black ice, but I don't think it is. I think it's something else.
Well, remember that when you're burning gasoline, the byproduct of gasoline, it takes all of that hydrocarbon out of it, and the byproduct, what's left, is water. So, yes, your exhaust gets filled with water as you're driving along until the exhaust all the way back gets really warmed up. Then it's, you know, it's warm enough for it to evaporate, But yes, your exhaust is full of water, and if it's dripping out of, that's why on all of the mufflers, on the vehicles, they all have a little weep hole for the water to run out of, and that's exactly what causes black ice in the wintertime is the water running out of everybody's tailpipes, and it just immediately freezes as soon as it hits the ground. So I'm sorry, but I think that what the dealership is telling you is true, is that it's black water running out of the exhaust.
Mm-hmm.
So I put some cardboard under it, and that'll take care of it for you.
There you go.
Yeah. If there was anything wrong with the car, if the air-fuel mixture wasn't correct, if it was running too rich or anything like that, causing a whole bunch of carbon buildup, the check engine light would be on, and the vehicle monitors all of that for you. So if it's running all right and you don't have a check engine light, then the air-fuel mixture is going to be correct, and like I say, what's going to come out of the tailpipe is going to be water.
Okay. Let's grab some text messages before you take your leave. Here's a 2011 Ford Explorer. Texter says, I started it one day and the computer screen located in the middle of the console went black, so I don't have the radio, backup screen, or the home page. Any ideas?
Yeah, well, that we fix those all the time. Those panels are power and ground, and they're little television sets, actually, and they fail from time to time. But, yes, we replace those and reprogram them, and sometimes we just replace them. Sometimes we have to just reprogram them, and sometimes we have to actually remove them and send them in to be repaired if they're too expensive. So, but that's common, that would fail.
It is repairable.
But it is absolutely repairable.
Okay. Texas is 2012 GMC Acadia. A mechanic recently replaced the power steering pump because it was leaking. Prior to the repair, my steering felt just fine. After the repair, it's now jerky or has hesitations when going back to center after a turn. I did not have that issue prior to bringing it in to replace the power steering pump.
Well, I hate power steering pumps.
Do you really? Tell us why.
Well, they're finicky and they're tricky that way, and somebody will come in and say, my power steering pump is making noise and I'm hesitant to replace it because the new one might just well make a little bit of noise too. It should not be jerky and like what you're explaining it shouldn't be doing that. So I think probably what the shop will tell you is give it a little time, see if things loosen up, see if all of the air gets out of the fluid, and the fluid has been aerated, and that can take quite a while actually for all those little bubbles to get out of the fluid. So they might ask you to give it some time before they do anything with it, and I think that's probably a good idea. But if it continues for a significant period of time, I think that they'll have to warranty that pump and put a different one in.
Dan, we have about 60 seconds. Final text. 2002 Buick, 80,800 miles. Just had the radiator flushed. Fluid looked like brown mud. I was surprised and asked if I should or it should be flushed again. Mechanic told me this was typical for that car, and the only way to get rid of it would be to replace the radiator. I had all new parts put in the air conditioning system last year, which worked well, but did not this year. I was told that the system was plugged so the Freon wouldn't go in. What should I do?
Well, those are two different questions. Now, the air conditioning and the coolant, but the coolant, I think I always go back to common sense. If you want to clean it out better, clean it again. So I would not be afraid to have
flushed again
and see what happened. They do get plugged, though. That's true. And the air conditioning part, I don't quite understand what part was plugged, so I probably can't.
It almost sounded like they had a new radiator put in that time, too.
Yeah. But
flush it again.
Flush it again. I think that's probably a good idea. And keep things from so that the heater stays efficient.
Yeah.
That's what you want.
How do we get in touch with you guys at Lloyd's?
Come on over. We are at 982 Grand Avenue. You can find us on the web at lloydsautomotive.net, L-L-O-Y-D-S, lloydsautomotive.net, or give a call next week at 651-228-1316.
Have a good week. We'll see you back here 1 week from today.
Sounds good.
All right. Thank you, Dan.